Okay, good afternoon. Welcome back to the afternoon Kollel. As always, I want to thank the Froelich Financial Group for sponsoring the afternoon Kollel. And this week, recognize and thank Evelyn and Isaac Blasher for memory of Evelyn's mother, Perel Rivka Bas Harav Menachem Mendel Eliezer, whose neshama should have an aliyah. Also, last year, the members of this distinguished Kollel were generous to sponsor the inaugural volume of Yadrim, our Torah journal, which made its way around the world. We're currently putting together the second volume, and we need your help again. I know you were just generous when it came to the Beis Medrash, but it's really an opportunity to be Marbitz Torah, to share Torah, and to do so on behalf of the Kollel. So Rabbi Shabta is going to pass around the sign-in sheet. If you could choose a level you're comfortable, instead of it being a burden on any one or a few people, if everyone collectively gives a little bit across the 3 days of the Kollel, we can produce our next volume and spread it around the world. Okay, we're in Kedusha Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. No, we have the same thing. Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph Kedushin. We are four lines from the top, around. We're going to start from Omer Mar. Where are we starting from? Second line. Forget the bracket. Omer Mar, the last word of the second line. Omer Mar. Everyone have it? We've been dealing with the last several weeks, we didn't even look inside the Gemara. We were still dealing outside the Gemara with questions of for whom to stand, when to stand, Seva, Zakein, which one is the Talmud Chacham, which one is the older Am Haaretz, what is the status of a Chiloni, somebody who is older, they're not just an Am Haaretz, they're not observant at all. We saw the Chiddush of the Shevet HaLevi, that you would not apply Tinuk Shenishba, other than someone who's Osa Maisa Imcha, someone would have to qualify as being observant in order to stand. So we pick up in the Gemara. We've got some exciting, great stuff today. Amar Mar, Yochel Yahadrena B'mamon, you might think that you have to honor this category of people with money, Talmud Lomar Tokum V'Hadarta. So you see there's a hekesh between Hidr and Kima. Makima She'ein B'chesron Kis, Af Hidr She'ein B'chesron Kis. Just like it costs you nothing to stand, assuming you don't need your hip replaced, just like it costs you nothing to stand to show kavod to a Talmud Chacham, so to hidur is to be mahadir without a financial obligation as well. Kima lesbe, so if like the Gemara Kasha, the Kima lesbe chesron kis, is it true that it doesn't cost anything to stand? Milo askin in the Kanakiv Marganisa. We're talking about somebody who is drilling a hole in a pearl. They're dealing with fine jewelry, which is a malacha, that's very delicate, very expensive. And nevertheless, this person too has to interrupt their work in order to stand for a Talmud Chacham. So the fact that they're interrupting their work, time is money. Interrupting, taking time to stand for the Talmud Chacham, time is money. It's a chesron kis. There is a financial deficit to be able to show kavod. So how can you say that just like Kima has no chesron kis, so too Hidr has no chesron kis? Kima absolutely does have a chesron kis. Ella says the Gemara, Akish Kima lehidr. So let's go in the other direction. Ma hidr she'im bo bitol, just like when the Torah says to be mahader, to give kavod, does not require bitol malacha, af Kima Sheimbo bitul malacha. So then the truth is it's the opposite. That Kima as well, you don't need to be mevatel malacha. You don't have to interrupt your work. Akishnami, and after we learn that hidr is without bitul malacha, akishnami hidr lekima, makima sheimbo chesron kis, af hidr sheimbo chesron kis. So we revisit and we invert the hekish, and by so doing we conclude that hidr, you should not be mevatel your malacha. Kima, you don't have to be mamata your malacha. Therefore, Kima has no chesron kis. Therefore, Hidr has no chesron kis. And says the Gemara, Mikan Amru, from here the Gemara, the Chachamim say, quoting a Gemara in Chulin, Ein bali umnuyos rishoyin lama b'nei tami de Chachamim b'shoa she'oskim b'malachtan. That people who are engaged in work should not, we'll see what this means in a moment, Ein rishoyim, may not stand to honor Talmidei Chachamim during the time that they're supposed to be working. How did the Gemara derive that conclusion? The Gemara drew that conclusion from our Hekesh. Because of our Hekesh of Kima to Hidr, Hidr back to Kima, there's no bit of Malacha, there's no Chesron Kis. It means that you have an obligation to stand for a Talmud Chacham. That's true if you're sitting and doing nothing, reading the paper, playing on your phone, surfing the web, but you're learning Torah, or you're not learning Torah, sorry, you're busy at work, you're doing malacha, ein rishain. You may not interrupt your work obligation in order to stand for the Talmud Chacham. Let's see Rashi. Zogt Rashi. Milo askin and klomar, milo mashmanami afilo nokid marganisa shumnas yikarahi. Wouldn't we obligate you to interrupt even while drilling a pearl? So we say, no. To be mahader is to show kavod, to treat someone with kavod. Treating someone with kavod does not demand that you interrupt work. So why does it say hidr then? And what does hidr teach? So Rashi concludes, based on the Gemara we saw several weeks ago, it's coming to exclude that if you see the person from a distance, they're so far away they can't see you showing them covered by standing, that you're not obligated to. Okay. So the Gemara concludes, as we just saw, because of this calculation, this hekesh, that you're not in Rishon. You may not stand if you're in the middle of Malacha. Let's just finish the Gemara, then we'll go back and analyze it a little further. In fact, the Gemara, velo, is it true that an Uman, somebody who is occupied with their Malacha, shouldn't stand? V'hatnan, we have a Mishnah in Bikurim. Ko bali umnuyos om de mipneyem. When the farmers would come to Yerushalayim to bring their Bikurim, their first fruit, the bali umnuyos, the people working in Yerushalayim, would stand up. And they would inquire into their well-being. And they would say, Shalom Aleichem, welcome. We now want to welcome our contingent from Boca, the farmers who brought their first figs from Boca. So you see that you do have to stand up, even if you're in the middle of Malacha. Now, we're not talking about Talmidei Chachamim. Even Amaratzim bring Bikurim, not only Talmidei Chachamim, but the Gemara is making an assumption here, which is, if you would stand up for people who are doing a mitzvah, so then all the more so, or certainly you would for Talmidei Chachamim as well. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipneihem Omdim. For the people bringing Bikurim, you stand. Mipnei Talmidei Chachamim ain't Omdim. That assumption that the Mishnah Bikurim says you stand for those bringing Bikurim, we should extrapolate that you would interrupt your work even to stand for Talmidei Chachamim, was an incorrect assumption. The truth is, you interrupt work for the Mevi Bikurim, you do not interrupt work for the Talmidei Chacham. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, bo re'e kama chaviva. What?
You interrupt learning Torah also?
Hold on. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, bo re'e kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Come and see from here how beloved, how significant doing a mitzvah in its time. Sharei mipneihem omdim. Those bringing Bikurim, you stand. Mipnei Talmidei Chachamim ain omdim. And yet, for the Talmidei Chachamim, the people who were doing work would not stand, but they would stand for the Mevi Bikurim. Says the Gemara, V'dilma, maybe the reason you stand for the Bikurim is not because Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. It's not because they're honoring people who are doing the mitzvah in its time. Rather, why? Shaini Hasam, rather, Bikurim is different. De'im Kain, Ata Machshilon L'Asud Lavo. Because if you don't honor the Mikra, the Mevi Bikurim, they're not coming back next year. If they feel like a bunch of schleppers, they're walking through the streets, parading their Bikurim, coming to do this mitzvah, and nobody notices, nobody says boo, nobody honors, nobody stands. So next year, their first fruit, they're just going to stay where they are. So maybe the Chachamim enacted that you stand for the Mevi Bikurim, not because Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, don't learn from here to other mitzvos, that you stand for someone doing a mitzvah. It's specific to Bikurim, because if you don't honor them, they won't come back. Talmidei Chachamim, we have confidence that even if you fail to honor them, they're still going to learn Torah. Talmud Chacham is not going to say, you know, what's the point of all the Ketos and the Nesivas, Rashi and Taisis? What am I bothering? I walk through the shul, I walk into the pizza store, nobody even stands up for me, forget it, I'm not bothering learning. The Talmud Chacham, we assume, loves learning for learning's sake. So they're going to learn anyway. But the Mevi Bikurim, if you don't stand and honor them, they won't bring Bikurim.
What are they going to do?
So don't extend the fact that the Mishnah says you interrupt Malacha to stand for the Mevi Bikurim, don't extend that to Talmidei Chachamim, nor extend it to Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, to other cases of a mitzvah.
What are they going to do with the Bikurim if they don't bring it? They have to bring it. What do you mean?
Let's see Rashi. We're talking about the people who bring their bikurim when they walk into Yerushalayim. And if you don't, what happens? The Gemara's conclusion was, Nimtzeis machshilan, shalayaviu od shiyomru, nevazan b'neim. We're degraded in their eyes. V'lav mishum chib of mitzvah hava. So the reason you're standing is not to honor the performer of a mitzvah, as in any mitzvah, rather, it's only specific to Bikurim. V'ilu b'nei Adam anikarim chashuvim ba'ir v'oskim b'mitzvos lavan l'meikam mikamayu. You don't have to stand up for other people doing a mitzvah. It wasn't a general observation about mitzvahs. It was something which was specific only to mevi Bikurim. Okay? That's our sugya. So again to summarize. I thought maybe I have to even interrupt the jeweler who's carving the diamond, who's putting a hole in the pearl, the day trader who, if they take their eye off the ball for a moment, maybe you have to be mevatel your malacha, you have to interrupt to stand up, even though it might cost you big. No, from the Hekesh, we learn, you don't have to be mevatel malacha. Aye, how could you say you don't have to be mevatel malacha? Ein reshoim, bali umnus. Bali umnus are not permitted to stand for Talmidei Chachamim. How could you say that? We have a Mishnah that says that in Yerushalayim, they were mevater the malacha, they interrupted their work, which suggests they incurred a financial loss in order to stand for the Mevi Bikurim, which we assume applies to Talmidei Chacham. And the first thing we say is no, don't compare. But you see, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, and then we say no, maybe not even Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. It has nothing to do with mitzvahs in general, it's specific to Bikurim. If you don't honor those who bring Bikurim, they're not coming back. What does it mean? Ein Bali Umnus Rishayin Lamod. Right, the Gemara's conclusion was, the Gemara in Chulin, which our Gemara is quoting, Ein bali umnus rishoyin lamud b'mnei tamidei chachamim b'shah she'oskim b'malachtan. Look at Tosfos. Zog Tosfos. Tema ma lashon rishoy. It's a very peculiar language. Either say you're not allowed to stand, or say you have to stand.
Right.
But ein rishoy, either say osur or say chayiv. Since when do we have ein rishoyin? Not permitted. It's a very peculiar halachic formulation. It sounds in Rishayim like you're forbidden to stand. Now you might say, why should it say you're forbidden to stand? Just say you're not obligated to stand. Kavod Talmidei Chachamim does not require you to incur a financial loss. So you can keep on working, don't get up. You're not obligated to stand. But what's the tzad? Why would I think you're prohibited from standing? Says Tosus. Because if you're an employee of someone else, so you're not entitled to steal their money to stand to give Talmid Chacham kavod. Now, who are you working for? So maybe you say if you're working for another Yid, he too is obligated to give kavod to a Talmid Chacham. So you're not stealing his time, you're helping him do his mitzvah. But who says you're working for a fellow Yid? Maybe you're working for a non-Jew. Even if you're working for a fellow Jew, who says they want to be paying you? Now, where else do we see that when you're an employee, your time is not your own, to the extent that who else is mochel their kavod because your time is not your own? The Ribono Shel Olam, the whole sugi and brachos. If you're in the tree, you come down from the tree, you're on that. The person who's working, your time is so not your own that you say an abbreviated Shemona Esrei. You say an abridged form of davening. You're such a grace at tzaddik. You know, this is halacha lemaisa. A lot of companies, a lot of businesses have minchas. So you want to have a long Shemona Esrei. And after Shemona Esrei, you want to say the entire Sefer Tehillim. And after Sefer Tehillim, you want to say Pitta Makteris. After Pitta Makteris, from a klaf, not from a klaf, we talked about last week, then you're going to learn that day's Mishnah Yomi, Mishnah Berurah Yomi, Daf Yomi, and Orach HaShulchan Yomi, and Zohar Yomi, and the next thing you know, half the day's gone by. You worked for an hour, and the rest of the day you were at this mincha minyan. Are you entitled? So the halacha is that you need the permission of your employer to be able to attend. Who says the company's mincha minyan? Can they have a full Shemona Esrei? They have to have a hechi kedusha. Who says they're entitled to a chazar sashatz? You need the employer's permission. That time is not yours. Now, if you used your lunch time, your break time, you used time that was technically yours, that's one thing. But if you're using time that's not your own, you need permission. You see how strict we are, by the way. The Rambam uses the term hatzadik, not in reference to Yosef. The Rambam uses the term hatzadik in reference to, anyone know? Yaakov. And the Rambam is talking about Hilchos Geneva. He's talking about Yaakov Avinu. He calls him Yaakov Hatzadik. And why does he call him Yaakov Hatzadik? Because he talks about Yaakov's vigilance and scrupulousness in business. That he didn't take 1 minute, 1 second that didn't belong to him. Not just that he didn't take any of the animals that didn't belong to him, but he didn't take 1 second that didn't belong to him. Yaakov is a tzaddik, having nothing to do with Ishtam Yoshev Olam. Yaakov Tzidkus for the Rambam doesn't stem from knowing Shas Baper, how many hours he was in the Beis Medrash. It stems from, do you make long distance calls from work? Do you use the copy machine for personal business? Did you steal number two pencils for your kid for the SATs? Yaakov's called the new tzaddik. The Rambam calls him a tzaddik, not having to do with what he did in the Beis Medrash, but for his conduct at work. That's the degree to which we are obligated to the employer. We can't take their time. So Tosfos says, why ain rishoyim? Why are you not allowed to be mevata your malacha? You're not permitted to interrupt your work in order to stand for the Talmud Chacham, because when your boss is paying you, the fact that you take your eye off the ball for a split second to stand to give cover to a Talmud Chacham, if there's a bit of malacha, you're not entitled. That's the first answer in Tosfos, why the Gemara uses the Lashon, ain balei umnus rishoyim. You're not permitted because the time is not your own. Second pshat Tosfos brings is, maybe ein rishoy means you're not obligated. Sometimes he says, we see the language of Chazal, when they say rishoy, they mean chayev. So it means you're not obligated to be mevata your malacha. If you want to, you can. There's no iser, but we're relieving you of the obligation. So if you feel this tension, should I sit? I don't want to lose money. Or should I stand and show cover to the Talmud Chacham? The answer is, if you want to, you're allowed to, but know that you're not obligated to. But in the second pshat, when we say Rishoyim means Chayavim, that you're not obligated to, it must be we're talking about you're self-employed, because if you weren't self-employed, you're not entitled to give cover to a Talmud Chacham on someone else's Cheshbon. Yes?
I just want to say that Rishoyim, in addition to maybe you don't have to, it's not proper. And amongst many of us, it's not only is it not obligated to do
right.
It, but if you're working for somebody, it's not yashus to do that.
Oh, so that's the Ritva's pshat. I didn't put the Ritva here. I didn't give you the Ritva, but though the Ran also holds like the Ritva. Turn to page 2. We're going to get back to Bikurim. Hold off. Patience, okay. Phil. Patience. You see the left-hand side, Rabbeinu Nissim, the Ran, this parish on the Rif in the back of the Gemara here in Kedushin. And first, B'malachas Acherim, V'chein Perish Rashi. If for you, you're not obligated, for someone else, you're not allowed. This was the second shot in Tosos. And so on. But look at the bracket. The Efshar Od Lomar. The af b'shal atzma ainu rishoy mamish kamar. The kevin the medina potter the makshinan kima lehider v'rov bali umnuyos ainon omdim imze ome yiro halalu kemizalzam b'chavat hamidah chachamim. So ainu rishoy means it's not proper to, but not for the reason you said. For the Ran says, because what's going to happen? Really, there's a license to continue to sit. You shouldn't, and we're talking about b'shal atzma. You're working for yourself. B'shal acherim, everybody agrees. Ein Rishoyim means you're not allowed to. What about B'shal Atzmo? You work for yourself. If you stand, that fraction of a second of time, time is money, is going to cost you money. So you don't want to give up that money, so you want to sit. But what happens if somebody near you keeps standing? The guy next to you in the day trading room, the guy next to you in the jewelry exchange, keeps standing for the Talmud Chacham. And you're going to sit, you're allowed to sit. He's going to stand. It's going to make you look like you're Mevazet Talmid Chachamim. So says the Ran, Ein Rishai means you shouldn't. Because you're going to make the person who's choosing to sit, who's entitled to sit, look like they're Mevazet Talmid Chachamim. So in other words, Ein Rishai means it's not proper. Not only Ein Chayav, and not only are you not obligated to stand for the Talmud Chacham, even when you work for yourself, it's not proper to stand for the Talmud Chacham. Either because the value of a good day's work, or because it will lead to the unintended consequences, the guy who's sitting will look like he's being mevaza the Talmud Chacham. That's how the Ran understands Einan Rishayim. Okay, so two pshatim and Tosfos, third pshat in the Ritva, fourth pshat in the Ran. What does Ein Rishayim mean? Yes. So it's an interesting mitzvah, right? It's not popular to say in some communities. Yeah, it's not popular to say in some communities, but we believe earning a living is also a mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch actually paskins it explicitly in a few places, that a person who's doing it for earning a living to provide for their family, the Shulchan Aruch Mechaber uses the lashon of mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to earn a living. So the problem with that is then you'll say all the time, Osik mitzvah patim in a mitzvah. If you're earning a living, do you not have to daven mincha or marav or give tzedakah or... So, it's a mitzvah, but it's not a technical mitzvah, or it's not a defined mitzvah in terms of the time parameters that you say osik b'mitzvah patur b'na mitzvah, because efshar l'kayim shneim, you could interrupt that mitzvah, you could interrupt that mitzvah for another. What?
That could explain the
Yeah.
Because you use the same lashon when a wedding passes by, or a funeral, or when you're learning.
When you're learning, right. So when do we say you're allowed to interrupt and when not allowed to interrupt? Okay, so four pshatim in what Rishayim means. Yes?
Marco uses the word obliged.
Obliged. Okay, you're not obliged. Right, so that's going in the pshat in Tosfos that you're not obligated, but you're allowed to. So they're passing in like the second pshat in Tosfos.
Perhaps the difference with the Kur and the Balayuni is get up. It's not, they're actually making money back. The Bikurim contribute to the economy of the city, and therefore their businesses.
Okay, interesting. All right, we'll come back to the Bikurim in a moment, but maybe you're being Mavata, you're Malacha, but you're contributing to the greater economy of the city. Now, the Chazon Ish raises a very interesting suffix, page 3, in the top left corner, Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em. This whole sugya is dealing with standing for whom? A Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara's conclusion is, Ein Rishayim, you can't be Mevatel, or you're not obliged to be Mevatel, your Malacha, to stand for a Talmud Chacham. What about, if your father's walking by and you're doing work? Must you be Mevatel Malacha for your father, for Kibarav? This is the Chazon Ish Safek. He writes, Mavur de mitzvahs kima u'bechlal kibud, v'yesh lain lama aparta Torah mitzvahs kima b'chacham kevin shechai b'moro. If kima is a form of kibud, standing is how we show kavod. Why does the Torah go out of its way to say, when they say we're talking about adarta pnei zaken? If you remember, we saw machlokas rishonim. Seva and zaken are two separate people. According to the Rosh, the zaken is zekan achachma, the zaken is a talmud chacham, no matter what age. So why do we have that you have to stand for a talmud chacham? If kima is bechlal kavod, and from es Hashem alokecha tira, we're marbe es l'rabos tamid chachamim, and included in tamid chachamim is kima, so why does he have a separate pasuk or a separate limud that I have to stand for a talmud chacham? Yeshlomer demikom akam rebsetora ba'asei miyachedus bekima behider. Because maybe for the rav, there's a special obligation. Meaning, when it comes to others, the chiyuv to stand is within, it's a subcategory of kavod. When it comes to a Talmud Chacham, it's not a subcategory of Kavod, it's a parallel category, it's its own independent Chiyuv. Umiyu l'man da'amar yonik v'chacham na'akasha, da'chai b'chvod of mora'u, v'nir de'im kima b'chlau Kavod, elim chai v'torah ba'dei. Umiyu ba'aviv shekvod of meruba, sharei mishnah sham, aviv v'sham rabo, shem chacham en mishana, kima b'chlau kvodo. Right, the Gemara Bar Metzia says that the kavod for your Rebbe goes before your father. Why? Because your father gives you chaye sha'a. He gives you life in this world, and your Rebbe gives you chaye olam, life in the next. So he says here, are you obligated to stand for your father if it's going to cost you bitul malacha? So the Chazon Ish says the nafkamina between whether kima is a subcategory of kavod or its own category is this application of kima for a talmid chacham. Does it also apply to the kavod of your father, or does it not? And he seems to conclude that even you have to do bitul malacha even for kavod of your father. Now, why is that complicated? We learned. Because kibud av v'em mishal mi, mishal av mishal ben. How do we paskin? Mishal av. Bitul malacha is showing kavod mishal ben. If the whole notion of bitul malacha is that it costs you a few shekel, now you're going to stand for your father in a way that's going to cost you a few shekel. If bitul malacha, then what happened to the fact that we paskin? It's mishal av. So we saw Tosfos already answers. He doesn't answer this specific question, but Tosfos already gave the principle that there's a difference between an expenditure and a lost revenue. Mishal av means you're not obligated to expend money, but lost revenue, you are obligated. That when we paskin mishal av, it doesn't mean that you're even obligated to, that you're not obligated to forfeit profit. Forfeiting profit, you are obligated. Mishal av meant you're not obligated to incur financial loss. Yes?
I just wanted to suggest, it's fascinating, in both the Yorindeya and the Ramah brings from the Sefer Hasidim, that the covet Rabbo comes prior to the covet of your father, if he's a Rebbe for free. But then on the side, and the Sefer Hasidim would say, it depends who pays for your legal covet.
Uh-huh.
If your Rebbe does it for free, he has to deem it. But it's the person that pays, and the shop that brings down, that could be anybody. So it's just a note that the kavod isn't for the one who was malamed, but the one who arranges for you.
It's a very important note. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. In other words, the fact that your Rebbe gives you chayisha, but if nobody hired and paid for your Rebbe to give you that chayisha, so there's an aspect of Yisachar Zvulun going on here over. There's a partnership that goes into learning Torah from someone. Okay, so the Chazon Ish raises a very interesting, our whole sugya is asking this question of bitul malacha ein rishayim within the context of kavod talmid chacham. Would it also apply to kibud av ve'em? So the Chazon Ish says maybe it's totally in the suffix of is kima its own category or is kima a subcategory of kavod? And even if you paskin, it should apply to a father. That's not a stira to Mishel Av, because bitul malacha is just forfeiting potential gain rather than incurring a loss. Yes? We didn't get up to that Gemara yet. Yeah, we didn't get up to that sugya yet.
But we've said it
before. We referenced it, yes.
So, if I have the choice of showing kavod for my father before I go to work or when I get home, or in the middle of my working for someone else...
No, for sure you're obligated, when you're not working, to show that kavod to stand for your father. The Shaila is one specifically of bitul malacha. Let's look at the Ben Yehoyada, page 4. The Ben Yehoyada asks a question that was bothering some of you. Where the arrow is in the bottom left of the Ben Yehoyada. Perish Rashi Shaliyaviu Ochiyom Renevazim Anu Beinayim. What was the Gemara's conclusion? Don't extrapolate that Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. You have to stand for anyone doing a mitzvah in its time. No! The fact that they were Mevata the Malacha for the Mevi Bikurim was not because you stand for anyone doing any mitzvah, was because if you didn't do that, the farmers aren't coming back the next year. So in order to ensure the continuity of the Mitzvah Bikurim, honor them when they get to Yerushalayim. Ask the Ben Yehoyada, Adavar Zeh, it's a Pella. V'chim b'nei she'en kamet b'neim, yom nivazim heim v'yachtu l'nekayim ha-mitzvah. These are holy Jews we're talking about. These are holy farmers. Because you didn't stand for them, they're not going to do a mitzvah? Imkei nimtzei mekayimim ha-mitzvah b'shvil ha-kavod. Are we suggesting that they only came to bring the bikurim because of the kavod that they received? V'lo chashida Yisrael b'hachi. Chalila, that we would speak such lashon hara, that we'd be such so suspicious of holy Jews. V'od, halahem yodim she'in kamim afil b'vnei talmid chachamim. My rabu sayu al talmid chacham. And they know that you don't stand, you're not mevata malacha for a talmid chacham. So why would they think, these farmers, that they would stand for them if they're not standing for the talmid chacham, so much so that if you don't stand for them, they're not coming back? It's a bizarre calculation. We're going to be institute that you have to stand and be mevata malacha because we're chayshed, these holy farmers aren't coming back. First of all, such lashon hara on our holy farmers. Second of all, the holy farmers know that you're not being mevata malacha for the talmid chacham. Why would they think you'll be mevata malacha for them? V'od muchach mitvrei Rambam, da pachos v'asaganim v'agizbarim sheyotun lekros amolchim imam b'shuk Yerushalayim gam kein, im keim heima roim b'ineim, shegam b'fnei hapachos hapachos v'asaganim enam kamim, da olchim imam b'yachad, eich omru nevazim b'ineim. You know the Rambam, when he spells out, you know, the way Bikurim was offered, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Bikurim, how big, what was the shear of Bikurim? Gurnished, your first fruit. A tiny little figula, a fig. You tie off the fig, it was your first fruit. You pluck it, bring it to Yerushalayim. And the Rambam describes, based on Mishnayos and Bikurim, it was a Gantz parade. Music and streamers and airplane riding in the air and the whole, the basket and the Rambam, the Mishnayos spell out, it was an unbelievable parade. Unbelievable. By the way, when you brought your Meiser to Yerushalayim, did anyone even look up? My teacher, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, once shared, I think maybe from his father, Zichrono Livracha. Why is it Bikurim? It's a tiny little fig. It's a gurnished. It's a nothing. It's a whole parade. Maisa, 10% of your produce, 10% of what you harvested. It's an enormous amount. And that, nobody looks up. Why? He said, it's very easy. Such a beautiful pshat. By the time the farmer brings in his 10%, he already has the other 90%. He's settled, he's comfortable, he knows the other 90% what he has to eat. But when you bring that first fruit, you have no idea what else is coming. And even though you have no idea what else is coming, you still take that first fruit and you say, Ribono Shel Olam, I worked my tail off for this. I toiled over this. I worked incredibly hard for this. And I don't know if another fig is going to grow. I don't know if there's anything more coming. But you know what? Nevertheless, this is for you. So when someone says, I have no idea what else is coming, but the first, Rashis, the Bikurim, is for you, we make a whole parade. When they take 10%, but they get to keep home, take home 90%. It's not such a grace at Tzidkus. When you get to take home 90%, that you gave 10%, it's not really so generous in the end. So when the Rambam and the Mishnayos spell out the big parade that surrounded the Bikurim, it says that the dignitaries came out to greet the farmer. So when the farmer's walking through the streets of Yerushalayim with the dignitary, what do you mean? If the Bali Malacha, the Bali Umnios wouldn't stand, the farmer wouldn't be insulted, they're not standing for me. They'd see they're not standing for the dignitary either. So Venira Li Bisyata Dishmaya says the Ben Yod Yoda, here's the Pshat. Masha Amar Nivzim Beinayam Lad Misham Adar Akima. Elamisham Shmaviya Meir Li Ir Davar Muat Sheshavar Dina Echad. The reason the farmer is going to think this isn't really a big mitzvah, I'm not coming back next year, is not because the workers failed to stand, but it's because they're bringing something that's so negligible. The world is making a lot of noise over it. This big parade, the horns are covered with gold. The issue is not that they're not standing. The issue is they're going to feel stupid. This huge parade is going on, music, golden horns, animal escort, dignitaries come out. You'd think that they're given $1 million. You'd think they're naming the new dormitory of the yeshiva. and they find out it's all to deliver what? Chai dollar. Less than chai dollar. A little fig. 18 cents. It's embarrassing. It's a little bit, you know what? I just came to give my $18. Do me a favor. Don't make a parade. Don't shine the spotlight. Don't tell anybody. Don't make an announcement. Don't put it in the bulletin. It's humiliating. All I'm bringing is a little fig, and you're turning the place upside down? It's humiliating. So the next year, they're not going to come back to bring their $18 check. But when the Jews of Jerusalem stand and they say, I know it's only $18, but you have any idea what $18 means when you're following the instruction of Hashem? When you, the farmer, I think this fits very nicely with the pshat of Rabbi Schachter, when you say, you have no idea what else your field's going to yield, and yet you're here to bring the first fruit, ooh-wah, we're standing up for you. The Talmud Chacham who knows Shas, we continue to sit and trade stocks. But for you, you're doing this mitzvah and you have no idea what's yet to come, for you we stand. Now the farmer's going to feel good about himself. And now, the next year, he's going to come back. So Ben Yoyada explains, the Gemara didn't mean to imply with suspicion that the farmer, if you don't stand for him, he's not coming back. So we say such a thing about Jews. No, what it means is, dafka, by standing, the farmer who's already predisposed to feel stupid about his little fig, now is going to be proud of his fig. So Chazal understood and instituted that even though for a Talmud Chacham you don't have to stand, you're not mevata malacha, but for the Mevi Bikurim, it's a mitzvah you feel very silly about. You barely bring in anything, and yet you're turning the world upside down. Therefore, they go out of their way to institute. Not chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. You don't stand for just any ordinary mitzvah. You dafka only stand for this mitzvah because the Mevi Bikurim might otherwise not come back again. Okay, next. What? It was, but the Mevi Bikurim, the first fruit, who knows what your first fruit is? You didn't bring your first, you didn't bring your whole harvest. You brought the fruit. The Rambam describes the Mishnah Sai. You would tie the ribbon around the first fruit and you'd watch it grow when it was ready. You'd take
that.
It. I think it was full of the people bringing the fruit, but each individual, and they put out other, yeah. So look at the Mishnayos, Perek Gimel. I think it's Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel, and Bikurim, page 6. Hachal ha-makel lefneim, ad shemagim karv li-yishalayim, yigiyu karv li-yishalayim, shalchal lefneim, itru es bikureyim, ha-pachos, ha-skanim, ha-gizbarim, yotzim l-krosim, l-chikoda, n-krosim ha-yoyotzim, Kobalium Neosh Bishlaim Omdilfnaim Shalom Shlomam Achino Anshe Amokum Ploni Vasem Lishalom. Azoy Zak the Mishnah, that's the Mishnah in the third parak of Bikurim. On this Mishnah writes the Rambam, the Chikavar Anchnosim Hayotzim, Bir Gemara, in Yanoshim, Ayunachnosim Rabim, Hayugamken Ayotzim, the Crossim Rabim, Ayumuatim Ayotzim, the Crossim Atim. You would send out people proportional to the amount of farmers that were coming. Vayikar Slainu Ain Balium Neos. Says the Rambam, it seems like the reason that they were mevata the malach and standing for them, the Rambam holds, it's not for the individual farmer. Why is it? Because they were entering as a tzibur. Amr b'gemara b'derech hayu omrim samachti b'omrim li beis Hashem neilech v'yishalayim ha'omra odotay raglinim shalach yishalayim. So from the Rambam, it sounds like the reason they were mevata malach and standing was not for every ordinary individual farmer, but was dafka for the notion that they came in as a tzibur. And the Rambam is medayik is from the lashon of the Mishnah, lefi kavod hanichnasim hayu yotzim, that according proportional to the amount, the ratio that was coming in with the amount that went out. So it's kahal the kavod hatzibur. The Maharit picks up on this. On page 8, you have Rav Yosef Trani, the Maharit. I'm not sure. So the bottom left, page 8. Borei kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. B'shili m'seches b'kur m'shami porach nam yehachi m'shani shni yishi achas l'kitzin perish abom izman l'zman l'chashu al hefzit mu'ay kazeh since the people who brought Bikurim was so infrequent, they weren't worried about the Bitul Malacha. For Isla Rambam, what we just read, Shapir Shemishan Shambalashan Zaf, Bishan Balyom Yosran, Chayven Leilish and Kal, the covered Sibor Shiny. Lufize, my Osa Mitzvah Yachid, Kamo, Osa Shami Bisham, Misham, Yachash and his Atza, Volobo, maybe, Gediv, Karnab, Mitsupos Kesser, Enachi of Lam Ponov, Inami Yachid Osa Mitzvah Acharisi. So if a person was a straggler and was schlepping along bringing the Bikurim later and he was all alone, according to the Pshat of the Rambam, you wouldn't stay. You wouldn't be mevatel your malacha. Moreover, an individual person doing a mitzvah, you wouldn't stand for the individual. For the Rambam, the only time you stand for someone doing a mitzvah is kavarat tzibur, if it's a kahal. V'gam mashmi dvarav shemaya tzibur af apisha asukim b'malachta and omdim afilu b'shash shem asukim b'mitzvos. Says, it sounds like from the Rambam, if it's a tzibur, you even go so far as to stand to be mevatel malacha. And if it's a tzibur, you even go so far as to stand to be mevatel mitzvah. Meachal lemash mahachid amrinem bo rei kama chaviv mitzvah shaita b'maflik ben yachal tzibur v'od miguvad yirsham isham muchot amrinem olam dekamen kumen misa lom and kumen misa kayamen elakome olam dekamen v'chesed. The Ma'ari quotes this Rambam, the Rambam's conclusion, and he doesn't like it and he rejects it. But what I want to show you is that from our Gemara, based on our Gemara, we see this application in a few other areas of halacha, which may be familiar to you. Page 10. The Mordechai. The Mordechai in the end of Masech Shabbos, the 19th parak, Reb Lezer de Mila, the 19th parak of Shabbos, the Mordechai makes a comment where I have the brackets on top. You see it? He quotes the Maharam. The Maharam in Rutenberg was the last of the Balei HaTosfos. The Maharam haya omed b'shas kriyas haTorah u'b'shas shemolan hatinok. Ve'hevi raya min ha'pasik v'yamad kol ha'am b'vris. V'raya min ha'talmud ha'amar Hamal Omer Alamila va'omdim sham Omer kishem shenichnas lebris. So the Maharami Rutenberg had a minog. The Maharami Rutenberg stood for Kriyas HaTorah. The Ramah quotes it in Shulchan Aruch, not as a chiyuv, but as a nice idea. That a person who stands, this is the origin. The kids who flip out in the year in Israel come back and stand for Kriyas HaTorah. It's based on the Mordechai quote in the Maharami Rutenberg that the Maharam would stand for Kriyas HaTorah. Both Kriyas HaTorah and Chazaras HaShatz are quoted by the Ramban Shulchan Aruch as not obligations, but as nice things to do. So here the Mordechai quotes that the Maharam would stand for Kriyas HaTorah and would stand for Mila. And he brings a pasuk, which is a support for the idea that you stand for Mila. But if you look at the Shulte Giborim on the bottom, Oz Beis, Shulte Giborim says, Maharam ha'yomi b'shas Kriyas HaTorah b'shas Shemol ha'netinok, he'viraim min ha'pasuk y'amun kol'om b'vris, v'raim min ha'talmud ha'mal omer omdim sham omrim kishim shenichnas. So the fact that you see, the Gemara says, Hamal Omer, Va'omdim. Why doesn't it say Hayoshvin Sham? You go to a bris, so let them all stand. Let him crouch over while he's doing the Mila. Why can't you sit and watch the Mila? The minhag is we all stand when we watch the Mila. Right? Why do we all stand? It's Maharam, quoting this pasuk. Gam Rayam Neyushami, Dukam Arketer Mevim Bikurim. Hashor halach l'tnayim, v'karnosa mitzupa zav, v'ater shazav b'roshe, v'chala makal l'tnayim, y'gir kov d'yushalayim, y'tru b'koreyim, v'apachos v'asiganam yotzen l'krosim, v'chabali umnos omdil l'tnayim. V'amr b'gamara, amr b'yos v'shem refuna b'o rei, kama gadol kochan shal osei mitzvah, shebifnei zakin in ovdim, v'fnei osei mitzvah omdim, mikan raya, she'odim chayav lamod, v'fnei osei mitzvos. So the Shulte Giborim, here in Masechta Shabbos, paskins based on our Gemara, even though the Gemara ends up rejecting this and saying Bikurim is different. But he paskins like our Gemara before its conclusion that you see from here, you stand for someone doing a mitzvah. And that's why we stand for a bris milah. That's why some have the minhag to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. It's a mitzvah. That's already a tircha de tzibura. Stand for a bris is a few minutes. Standing for a Kriyas HaTorah can be a lot longer. Hold on, let's keep going. Yeah. What about?
I would go with even if you can't, if you're frail,
you Borcha, you have to stand for.
Stand
for Borcha is a Dover Shebek Dusha. This is one of the most neglected areas of halacha. Borcha is a Dover Shebek Dusha. Dvarim Shebek Dusha require Amida. You have to stand for it. People give a little nod, a little head nod, a little wiggle. But for Borcha, one should stand minimally for Borcha, even if they do not follow the minhag of the Maharam and they sit for Kriyas HaTorah. This notion of standing for mitzvahs, has a few other applications as well. Look at the Tshuvas Vanaga, source 11, of Sternbach. Sternbach in his Tshuvas Halachas, Simen Resh Yud Ches, Chelek Dalet, Simen Resh Yud Ches. Oh. Borei kama chavim mitzvah shayta shabneyem mevi bikurim omdim, netamidah chachamim en omdim. We don't stand for a tamah chacham, but you're mevata malacha for someone doing a mitzvah. Maskin and yeshlam atam shim lo kein, atamachshin lasad lavo. If you don't do it, they won't do it again. From here we see one other example. You stand when the kid's walking around with the pushka, the gabbai tztaka, you stand. When it's betzibur that someone's collecting tztaka, everyone should stand because they're observing, they're witnessing, they're in the presence of a mitzvah. Kama chaviva, that even though we don't stand for a tamach chacham, you stand for a mitzvah. Ayin taz, shebechol mitzvah shod mosik b'chayv an lama b'fanav. The taz says, anytime you're doing a mitzvah, you should stand. B'chein, bar tenur b'mishnayas kosel, shemihai tam om d'nei nosei hamita, shameiz ba, d'nei nosei atinuk, l'bris mila. This is why you stand at a kvura. Or when you're the Levaya to the Kvura. I don't mean during the Hespedim, but the Levaya. This is why you stand for a bris. So when they're walking around collecting tztaka and people are giving, we should stand. Especially, this is like Bikurim. It's a degrading thing. You're walking around with the pushka, groveling, begging, handing out the sheet, please sign up to sponsor Yadrim. It's embarrassing, it's degrading. If we don't stand, then the person's not going to do it. And if more people showed kavod, more people would be occupied with it, and it's a virtuous thing to be occupied with. V'nira shechazal amru, I'm on page 12 now. Shechazal amru chaviv ha-mitzvah shayta davka. V'as hitrichu osan olam marafil b'amtsa malacha. V'ayinu kama bikurim, hu adin b'fnei milo, misaskim b'kfuris meis. V'agavet stokash is a todir, says Rav Sternbach, no. So why is it, why do we not stand every time someone's walking around with the pushka? Because what's the difference between Bikurim and Mila and Kvura and Tztaka? All of those others are designated, bracketed units of time, a mitzvah to do. The Bikurim is this mitzvah right now. The Kvura is the Kvura right now. The Mila is the Mila right now. Tztaka is a mitzvah all the time. The gabbai can walk around the whole minyan. You go to the gra and shari chesed. You go to sometimes it's starting to feel like our shul. You could have mishulachim walking around from birchas hashachar till the shir shalom. You have to stand all of davening. You got to stand the whole davening. So says Rav Sternbach, since tztaka is not a mitzvah in a designated time, but it's a mitzvah which is tadir, for that he extrapolates. The Gemara used chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Chaviva, when do you honor the mitzvah by standing for it? Mitzvah b'shaita that has a designated time, a beginning and a middle and an end, a bris, a kvura, what was the other example? Bikurim. But tztaka has no beginning, middle, or end. According to the Bach and the Shach and the Aruch HaShulchan, even a Talmud Chacham Muflag has to stand for someone doing a mitzvah. Ayin Shach, doing tztaka does not make you a virtuous person enough that a Talmud Chacham Muflag would have to stand for you. Shabbat Shaltam Chacham Adav Migdolei Ador, Bas Gdolei Ador Adav Mibas Rosh Hakinesios, Bas Rosh Hakinesios Migdolei Yitzdaka, Mavur Shagabai Yitzdaka, Dargoso Hi Acharei Tam Chacham Ba'amasim, Rosh Hakinesios. Umiyo Eino Raya Shahasam Hanidol Inyan Abashalo, and so on. Fine. So this is Rav Sternbach's Tshuva about standing for Yitzdaka, and while he says, we do Paskin, based on the Maram, the Shulta Giburim, the Mordechai, and others, that you stand for a mitzvah b'shaita, that's only a mitzvah b'shaita, but it's not a continuous mitzvah. In other words, you'd say, why don't I have to stand all davening from the fact that I'm in the presence of people who are davening? It's like a circular klutz kasha. Elamai, that's a mitzvah tadir. You only stand for someone who's doing a mitzvah, b'shaita, which is a specific mitzvah. Which brings us to the following question. Just hold your questions for a moment. Page 13. Brings us to the following question. This comes from the Sefer Chuppah of the Kedushin I have at home. Chuppah of the Kedushin is really Yalkut Yosef. It's Rav Avadya, Zatzal. Look at your test. And this is a minog of Sfardim. Al kol akol lamod b'shas bircha sa'irusin v'sheva brocha shatachas ha'chuppah. We sit at a chuppah. Says Rav Avadya, you're wrong. And the minog of Sfardim, when Rabbi Shabtai goes to a chuppah, the rabbis Shabtai, they stand. I first learned that when I said, "Nu, I have a seat, come sit." No, if I follow Rav Avadya, we stand. Based on what we're learning, it makes a lot of sense. We'll see in a moment. The Masada Kedushin should ask everyone to please rise while the brachas, the birchas erusin, are being recited. For their own good, you should teach them they really should stand. Especially because there are Kabbalistic sources. In fact, Rabbi Alan Kimchi from London recently was here with Masada Kedushin at his own son's wedding here in Boca. And I noticed, I don't know if it's a minhag in London, where he just paskins like Rav Avadya, he's Ashkenazi, he had everyone stand for the Birchas Erusin, for the actual Kedushin, he had everyone stand. If you look on the bottom, Rav Avadya brings five reasons. Five reasons why one should stand, not for the whole chuppah, you don't have to stand for the rabbi's drasha, but you should stand for the Birchas Erusin and Mestama, the Mesiras Tabas, the giving of the wedding, of the ring. Five reasons. Number one, Hagon, I don't know who that is. B'hagoso b'sefer erech lechem kasu b'rova mekomas mevorchem sheva brachas me'umad v'tzarachin lama nogikein v'im lech v'rachas v'akal lama birchas eris mevorchem miyushav v'nir shekeven shebirchas ha-shebara she'om ha-mosa koshiva y'mechla ha-sheva brachas v'yesh b'bracha lechla Yisrael mehera Hashem lekenu yishama b'yar Yehuda v'chutz Yisraim l'varach Yisrael tziva Hashem yizbarach she'im ba'amida k'ma shedarach yishchazal kosevorchu ba'amida. One of the sheva brachas is not just for the chasan and kala, but is a bracha for all Klal Yisrael. Since we know when the Jewish people receive a bracha, we stand, as in Birchas Kohanim Duchening, so too over here, the Jewish people are receiving a bracha within the context of Sheva brachas, we should stand. So reason number one, stand for the Birchas Erusin and the Sheva Brachas is, Jewish people are receiving blessings within this too, just like with Duchening, we stand when we receive a bracha. Reason number two, V'otam, apiyam avur b'tikunei zohar, v'zeh halashon, like the Tikkun HaZohar says, we stand in honor of the Chasan and Kala. So the reason number two is, Chasan and Kala are king and queen. You don't sit while the king and queen are standing. You stand while they're standing. So reason number two is, you stand. No, for the chuppah. V'shamati shbir salanaka lo yalumdim, lo yadati lama, v'boi l'sham amadati b'chuppah, v'chein asu kol ha'am, zu l'kzas tamidah chacham, shlo yadu v'lo yavinu, afilu b'msech eskala, v'lo shimshu tamidah chacham im klal. It's like classic language. He says, when I was in Salonika, I stood, he's quoting here the Knesset HaGedolah. The Knesset HaGedolah says, I was in Salonika, the minhag was to sit, I did the right thing and I stood. Because of that, other people stood, except for a few people who thought they were Talmidei Chachamim and they didn't know Gurnisht. Fine. Number three reason. If the reason is the reason number two, because we're honoring the Chasan and Kala who are Doma Lamelech and Malka, then why do we not stand for them at the Sheva Brachas for the whole 7 days? Every time you get to Sheva Brachas, the end of benching, everyone in the room should stand. So reason number three is our reason from our Gemara. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Why should you stand for the chuppah? Because they're doing a mitzvah. Getting married brings us back to last year. is getting married a mitzvah? Is it a hechsher mitzvah? Is puravu the mitzvah? The Rush, the Rambam, but some sort of a mitzvah is taking place. So if you assume chaviv a mitzvah b'shaita, that you don't even stand for a talmud chacham, but you stand for someone doing a mitzvah, that's why you stand. Reason number four, Zefer Darchi Noam, Hol Birchas Chasana Basara, Kol Davar Shabakdusha. You can only say Sheva Brachas if you have a minion. Anything that requires a minion requires you to stand. And therefore you should really stand. Reason number five, Besefer Toshir Yehuda, Kazva Tama Pima Shaamra Bazar Kadosh, Tzarch Lasas Chupa Noah Lachod Kala Ilah, Yashchina Sheba Lasham. When you make a proper chuppah, chasan and kala, it's like Yom Kippur for them, the Shechina is Shora. Because the Shechina is there under the chuppah, what are you going to sit while the Shechina is there? It's a very, very holy moment. So here Rav Avadya brings five reasons why he paskins halacha lemaisa, that Tzibur should stand for the chuppah. And reason number three within the five reasons should be familiar to us, which is someone's doing a mitzvah. That's why they say the minhag has extended. It's kind of an inverted minhag. We stand for the chasan and kala while they walk down the aisle. This is a very recent minhag. Some in this room are a little older than I, and you probably remember that nobody stood for the chasan and kala walking down the aisle. Now we don't really stand for them, we stand for the grandparents because they're older, we stand for the younger brother because he finished Mishnah's brachas, we stand for the caterer because he's going to be feeding us later, stand for the photographer. Now we stand, now you go to a chuppah, it's like calisthenics. But once upon a time, nobody ever stood. So what's the origin of standing? Because the chasan and kala, they're on their way to go do a mitzvah under the chuppah. But it's backwards. Rav Avadya is right. They're not yet. Why was the minhag never to stand? Because they don't have the status of chasan and kala yet till they're under the chuppah. There's no obligation to walk down an aisle. There's no mitzvah to walk down an aisle. It's a Western thing. Having a procession and who walks down and what order you walk down, you could stand where you are and get under a chuppah and make the chuppah. So you're not a chasan and kala till you're under the chuppah. Rav Avadya's psak makes a lot more sense. I'm not telling you that I'm going to start announcing under a chuppah, will everyone please rise? Although it's really a question, probably because tircha de tzibura. Our chuppahs last more than 10 seconds. It's a long time to ask people to stand. It's probably why not. But Rav Avadya's psak based on the five reasons. So we saw from our Gemara, the chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, based on the Mishnah and Bikurim, that even though you're not obligated to be mevatel your malacha for a talmud chacham, you're mevatel your malacha for the mevi Bikurim. Not all mitzvahs, the Gemara says, just the mevi Bikurim, because we fear if you don't, they won't come back. Yes, the Ben Yoyada, you're going to speak Lashon Hara about the mevi Bikurim, the holy farmers? No, we're not speaking Lashon Hara. It's not they wouldn't come back because they need kavod. They won't come back because they think the mitzvah is silly. They feel foolish. So by making them feel good, we ensure they'll come back. We seem to pass in Alacha Lamaisa that it's not just the Mevi Bikurim, it's Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. And we saw this. The Maharami Rutenberg stood for Kriyas HaTorah. We stand for Bris Milah. We stand for Kvura. We stand for Mevi Bikurim. Maybe you stand for the Gabbai Tztaka. That's the origin of standing for Vayivarach David. That's when they used to walk around with the Pushka. You give tzedakah during Vayivarach David, that's the whole origin of standing for Vayivarach David. In theory, you could sit for Vayivarach David on Shabbos. It's just like a low plug. You stand 6 days a week, so the seventh you stand also. And maybe is a chuppah also? So Rav Avadya says, yes, that is not the minhag ha'olam. We will, mitzvah Hashem, continue from here. We will not continue from here. Next week I'll be at AIPAC in Washington, advocating for a U.S.-Israel relationship. I don't know if someone's teaching in my stead. Rabbi Shabtai will let you know when we're going to go on break for Ben Azmanim. I'm not sure. Thank you in advance for your support of Yadrim. Your names will all be printed in the forward. And as I said, last year's Yadrim not only included essays by outstanding Gedolei Yisrael, Rav Schechter, Rav Asher Weiss, and others. This year, again, we have incredible essays from Gedolei Yisrael, but Yadrim made its way around the world. We sent it around the world. It was purchased on Amazon, and we sent it to Gedolei Yisrael. So you're agreeing to sponsor collectively is able to support Torah, and I thank you in advance. I stand for you.